Take your Bibles. Find the book of Revelation. Go to Concordance and back up a little bit. Last book of the Bible. We're in a series of messages from this great book by John. Last Sunday night, we looked at the first half of chapter 5 when John had been taken up into heaven. We saw in chapter 4, there was a voice that come up hither, and he was raptured. And he gets to heaven, and he sees the things we're looking at, chapters 4 and 5. He saw Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb. The angel said, "Behold, the Lion of Judah." And John turned and saw a lamb that had been slain. The Lion is the Lamb. The Lamb is the Lion. He's both. In chapter 4, the theme of worship is, "Thou art worthy, for thou hast created." In chapter 5, we see a continuation of this, but the theme now is, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain." It is Calvary that prompts their worship now. The old song is a praise for the Creator. The new song is praise for the Redeemer. We read the Lamb takes that book sealed seven times, which could be the title deed of the earth, and all of heaven bursts into a song of praise. John had wept when nobody would step forward to claim the book, but now that weeping has turned into rejoicing. Now I believe what we're seeing here, as John was taken up into heaven and sees all this, he goes into the throne room of God. I believe when we're raptured, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be caught up into the throne room of God, and we are going to experience what we're reading about here in chapter 5. What a worship service that is going to be. You ever been in a song service where you just kind of felt swept away by the music? I've been in something like that, and everybody just seemed to be into the music and singing. Music has tremendous power, both good and bad. Really, all the emotions known to man can be experienced and expressed through the medium of music. Tell you what, a good song service gets me ready to preach. Sometimes I don't feel like preaching. I come and think, well, you know. But a good song service gets me ready to preach. And I hope it gets you ready to listen, because that helps me if you're listening. But music has tremendous power. So we're going to take a few minutes and visit the heavenly singspiration that's going on here. How many of you like Gaither Homecoming music? Just me? I love to hear them sing. I like to sing along with them. And as great as that is, that's nothing compared to what we're going to see when we get to heaven, when all of God's singers get home. That'd make a good song, Brother Sam. You might work on that. When all of God's singers get home. If you want to take notes, first of all, think about the basics of heaven's music. Look at verse 8 in Revelation chapter 5. "And when he had taken the book," that's the Lord Jesus, "had received the book that was sealed, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Now here we see the basics of this. You know, religious liberals try to tell us that Jesus is not God. They say, well, he was a great man, he was a great teacher, he was a great example, but he's not God. They want to tip their hat to Jesus as a good man, but that's all. Folks, listen, we're not here to just tip our hat to Jesus. We are here to worship him, to bow our knees and confess him as the Lord God. God alone is worthy of worship. And you notice here, Jesus is receiving this worship. First, we see the participants involved here. There's angels represented by the four living creatures. The elders represent all the redeemed of all time. And together, man and angel gives praise and honor and glory to the Lamb. We all will worship when we get to heaven. Every one of you. Maybe the first time you ever worship, but you're going to get involved in this. Look over in Revelation 19 and verse 10. Let me show you something. Later on, John meets an angel, and he falls down to worship this angel. Look at verse 10 in chapter 19. "And I, John, fell at his feet to worship him." Now this was an angel that had appeared to him. "And he," the angel, "said unto me, See thou do it not. Don't worship me. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that had the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." Now, back here in chapter 5, Jesus is receiving worship, which means he's more than just a good man. He is God. God the Son, who is to be worshiped. If he was not God, he would not have accepted their worship. Just like the angel. So we're going to worship at the throne of God. And we're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Then second, we see the praise here. Talks about harps. I guess this is where we get the idea that we're just going to go to heaven, sit on a cloud and play a harp. Now, if that's all there was to heaven, I wouldn't be too excited about that, would you? I mean, after a few million years, you're going to get tired of that. But here, everyone is given a harp to play. And maybe this means we're all going to learn how to play musical instruments when we get to heaven. Hey, we'll have all eternity to learn, right? I read somewhere that these harps were special instruments that had 10 springs, reminding us of the law of God and the 10 commandments. Folks, you know the law of God is good. We should delight in his law. Now, sometimes you meet people as well, don't put me under the law. It's like they hate the law of God. And I ask, you know, why? What is it about the law of God that you don't like? Do you not like that we are to love the Lord God foremost? Do you not love the idea we're to love one another and treat one another right? What don't you like about the law? The law is good. Amen. It's holy. Yes. When God says, thou shalt not, that bothers some people when God says, thou shalt not. But your parents said that, didn't they? Thou shalt not play in the highway. Why? Because they don't want you to have any fun, right? No, when God says, thou shalt not, God is simply saying, don't hurt yourself. When he says, thou shalt not, he's trying to protect us from something. Amen. Amen. Yep. We're going to worship the Lord God. Now, by the way, if we're going to do it then, you need to get used to doing it now. Yes. I told you before, this is just rehearsal. We've come together to rehearse going to heaven and how we're going to worship God when we get there. Some of you get involved in the song service. Some of you get involved in worship. Others just kind of sit and listen. Well, you're not going to be able to do that in heaven. The Bible says in Psalm 95:1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. You say, well, I can't sing. Well, the next part's for you. Let's make a joyful noise. Now you can do that, can't you? Make a joyful noise. Some are here worshiping. Others are here just watching people worship. By the way, the choir is not here to entertain you. They're there to lead us in worship. And I want to encourage you, if you've got any abilities at all, don't bury that. get in the choir. You men. I look out and I see some of you men that ought to be in the choir. I don't know why you're not. If you got a good reason, come tell me later. Maybe we can work that out. But I think every chair in that choir should be full every Sunday morning. Say amen, Sam. Amen. I'm trying to help you out here. Join in and sing praises unto the Lord. And I appreciate those of you that are involved in our music program, singing in the choir, playing instruments. We need to do that. Number three, we see the prayers. We see the prayers here. I don't think this is talking about the praying that's going on in heaven at that time when John's there. I think it speaks of all the prayers that have ever been prayed throughout the church age, and they have been stored in golden vials. The prayer that many have prayed throughout the ages is, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Hey, that prayer is about to get answered. Amen. So the bowls of incense are symbolic of prayers, the prayers of the saints. In the Old Testament, people would burn incense to the Lord. And that sweet smell would ascend unto God. And that's symbolic of our prayers ascending up unto God. Prayers are kept in a vial. Now, if your prayers were kept in a vessel, how big a vessel did you need to keep all your prayers? Maybe a little teacup would work for some. Others might need a bushel basket. Your prayers are kept in store. Remember, when the angel came to Zacharias and announced the coming birth of John the Baptist, he said in Luke 1:13, the angel said to Zacharias, "Fear not, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." Now back in verse 7, we're told that Zacharias and Elizabeth are well stricken in age, and his wife was barren. Now the angel comes and says, "Thy prayer is heard." Zacharias was probably thinking, "What prayer? We haven't prayed that prayer in many, many years. We've forgotten all about it." But God hadn't. God hadn't. That prayer had been stored up for years. And now God's ready to answer that prayer. Our praying is never in vain, folks. Prayer honors God. And therefore, God honors prayer. Hey, are you actively involved in a lifestyle of praise and prayer? By the way, men, we meet here at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning to pray. We had, 10 showed up this morning. Out of over 100 men in our church, 10 showed up to pray. Those 10 think praying is important. That we need to come together and pray for the day. Pray for our services. Pray that God will bless us. Pray that we'll bless God. But I want to encourage you, come and join us for this time of prayer. Second thing I want you to see today is not only the basics of heaven's music, let's look at the lyrics of heaven's music. Back in Revelation chapter 5, look at verses 9 and 10 now. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." They sung a new song, a song of praise for redemption. Now, it's not really new in the sense that nobody's ever heard it before. The idea here is it's new in that it's unique. It's unique. We sing, when in scenes of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the same old story that I have loved so long. Amen. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? They sing about the power of the Lamb. By the way, if you don't enjoy loud singing and loud praise and enthusiasm, you might just feel out of place in this heavenly scene. I think it's going to get loud and rambunctious. That many people all singing at the top of their voices praise unto the Lord. They sing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Folks, the Lord Jesus alone has the power and authority to do this. Last week we noticed they were searching heaven and earth and hell and everywhere to find somebody worthy to take that book. The only one worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus alone has that power and authority. You know, I love songs that lift our hearts and minds toward Jesus. Amen. I think too many of the contemporary songs are infected with eye disease. They're eye-centered more than Christ-centered. You can emphasize the believer's experience and almost ignore the Lord's glory. I love songs that lift Jesus up, that praise him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the King. Is that why we're here today? Oh, come, let us adore him. They sing about the power of the Lamb. Secondly, they sing about the passion of the Lamb. Guess what? In heaven, we're going to sing about the blood. Can you believe that? We're going to sing about the blood. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. The theme song of our worship will be the blood of the Lamb. Now today, some people don't like to sing about the blood. It offends them. They call it slaughterhouse religion. Some denominations have actually taken songs about the blood, there's power in the blood, songs like that. They take it out of their hymn books. But guess what? They're not going to take it out of heaven's hymn books. It's there. And we're going to sing about the blood, I think, for all eternity. The theme song of our worship will be about the blood of the Lamb which redeemed fallen creation. There is power in the blood. In the precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. We still sing about the blood here. About redemption. About atonement. That's so important. The more you meditate on the power and the scope of Christ's sacrifice, I think the more humbled we become. And the more worshipful we become. Think about the sacrifices made in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 22, we read about a ram that was substituted for Isaac, a picture of Christ giving his life for the individual. Then at Passover, a lamb is slain for a family. On the great day of atonement, a lamb is slain for a nation. You see this? It goes from a person to a family to a nation. But then the Lord Jesus Christ came and has died for the whole world. Amen. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Folks, there's no limited atonement taught here. Amen. No limited atonement here. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Amen. I'm glad I can preach that.
Yes, sir.
Folks, this means we've got to take the gospel to the whole world and invite everybody to come to Jesus for salvation. I heard about one fellow who was against foreign missions, against giving to missions. One Sunday, an offering was received for missions. He told the usher, "I don't believe in missions." The usher said, "Well, sir, please take something out of the plate, for it is for unbelieving heathen like you." That didn't happen here, by the way. But may give our ushers some ideas, I don't know. But this is Missions Emphasis Month, so I got to interject some of this here every once in a while, because we're going to be called upon here soon to pledge another year to missions. And I love the fact that this is a mission-minded church. I'm proud to pastor a church like this. I really am. We support 70 mission fields all over the world, on every continent. And I think God is going to bless us, continue to bless us for that. Number three, they sing about the purpose of the Lamb. "Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." That's talking about the redeemed. The lyrics will consist not only what Christ has done for us, but what he has made of us, kings and priests. Hey, we're members of the royal family, and we will reign with Christ during his millennial kingdom. Some of you will have authority over cities, some over provinces, some over entire countries. Based upon how faithful you were in this life, you shall be rewarded, and you shall reign with Christ in the millennium. So you're part of the royal family, and you're also part of a priestly order. We can offer up sacrifice of praise unto his glory. Write these verses down. Hebrews 13:15. Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." See, as a priesthood, we offer up sacrifices. Sacrifice of praise. Jot down Romans 12:1. There it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Amen. Now, they offered up lambs and rams and heifers, dead bodies. We are to offer up our body a living sacrifice. Every day, as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are providing the work of the priesthood. You are in the priestly order, in the royal family. Are you feeling better about yourself now? You ought to. Amen. The third thing I want you to see is the dynamics. The dynamics of heaven's music. Back in Revelation chapter 5, let's look at verse 11. John says, "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. How much is that? That's 100 million. 10,000 times 10,000. 100 million and thousands of thousands. 100 million plus is involved here. "Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I read that at the Old Testament temple, they had about 4,000 musicians and choir members. Just imagine the sound of heaven's great choir of all the redeemed. I mean, what a cascade of harmony John must have heard. There are three areas of worship I want you to see. First of all, there is personal worship involved here. As I said, if you don't like praising God and singing, you're probably going to feel out of place here. This is personal worship. Folks, look at this verse. Can you see yourself in this crowd praising the Lord? Can you see yourself there? You may think, well, preacher, I'm a quiet, reserved person. I don't like, you know, getting caught up in extravagant praise. Well, I don't know about that. I believe I can hear you singing at the top of your voice, shouting praises unto God. Hey, it's in you. It's in you. You just might surprise yourself. Bible says, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Trying to get you men in the choir. I know some of you guys say, well, I don't sing, and I just don't really get excited about these things. It's just the way I am. Now, you may be quiet and reserved here, but what about at the ball game? I see those same guys who are so reserved and quiet going nuts at a ball game. I mean, they get excited there. You come here and sit like a wooden Indian, and you go to the ball game and act like a wild Indian. No offense to Indians, by the way. I know I'm in Oklahoma. It's in you. You just need to let it out. Amen. You need to get excited about what we're doing here. Yeah. Folks, this is more important than any ball game. Amen. Yes. Amen. Your favorite team, you probably wouldn't like half the players if you knew them personally. Right. Say, move on, Brother West. Okay. It's not only personal worship. I see universal worship here. Universal worship. There'll be many angels and living creatures and elders all caught up in this time of worship. John saw every creature in heaven and on earth joining in. 100 million plus singing. Sam, how'd you like to conduct that choir? I'll talk to the Lord about it. Maybe he'll let you. I think Sam's going to have a good time when we get there. See, the praise begins in heaven and spreads throughout the universe. It is a scene of universal worship. Every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ. Even his enemies, all these so-called atheists, will one day acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of all. Proverbs 15, verse 8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. What we see here is our sevenfold doxology. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. A sevenfold doxology. Now, folks, listen, Jesus was born in weakness and died in weakness, but folks, he's going to be the recipient of all power. He became poor for our sakes. Yet he owns all the riches of heaven and earth. He came and men laughed at him and mocked at him. And yet he's the very wisdom of God. He was mocked and beaten here on earth. But all that's going to change. He has received all honor and glory and blessing. Amen. He alone is worthy of all praise. As we see here, he's worthy because of creation. He's our creator. He's worthy because of Calvary. He's our redeemer. And he's worthy because of his conquest. He's our coming king. Amen. All creation will worship the Lamb of God. Many refuse to do it now. But everyone one day will give him due honor and glory because he's worthy. Hey, do this. Touch your knees. Everybody touch your knees. If you can reach them. Come on, touch your knees, John. Now stick your tongue out. Not at me, at your neighbor. Stick your tongue out. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You say, I never have. You will one day. I guarantee you, you will one day. Even those who don't receive Christ as their Savior will one day bow and confess He is Lord. Universal worship. And then finally, there's eternal worship here. Eternal worship. Verse 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. This is not just praise for a moment. This is for all eternity. I mentioned the other day, I said, this is our heavenly occupation. Somebody asked, was that all we're going to do? Just have church service all the time? No, it's not all we're going to do, but we're going to do it a lot. Amen. We're going to want to do it a lot. Every chance we get. Let me ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ is worthy of your worship? Is he worthy of your love, of your time, of your tithe, of your life? Does your life say amen to what we just read? Have you been redeemed? The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. One day soon, folks, the Lamb is going to break these seals and put into motion the events that's going to transpire. We get into chapter 6, we're going to see the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's coming up next Sunday morning. When the first seal is broken, judgment after judgment after judgment is going to come upon this world. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day to come? Christ is going to come and establish his kingdom. He's going to sit on the throne of David. Does that excite you? Be honest, does that really excite you? Can you say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus? Or maybe you prefer the song, Wait a Little Longer, Sweet Jesus. There's a song by that. Wait a Little Longer, Sweet Jesus. I don't like that song. I refuse to sing it. I don't want him to wait. I want him to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, you might sing, wait a little longer because you're not ready. But you need to get ready. Now's the day. Brother Sam, y'all come. Let's prepare for an invitation to him. I heard about a man who was an artist and a chess player. He painted a picture of Satan and a young man seated at a table playing chess. He painted a chessboard with all the figures to show the chess pieces arranged in such a way to show that the devil was going to win. There was seemingly no move left for the young man to make to win the game. The painting shows the devil with a wicked grin and a gleam in his eye as he anticipates victory. It shows a look of desperation on the face of the young man. This painting was hung in a public gallery. One day, a master chess player came and saw the painting. He was very intrigued by it. He stood there and studied the painting for a long, long time. Then all of a sudden, he shouted, "I found it! I found it!" He had seen a way. There was still one move left that that young man could take and avoid checkmate. There was still one move he could make. But would he see it? And would he take it? Some of you, there's a move you need to make today. You need to come to Jesus and trust in Him as your Savior. The only question is, will you see it and will you take it? It's all up to you. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you three questions. Do you have a cause worth living for? Do you have a cause worth living for? Question number two, is what you're living for worthy of Jesus dying for? Think about that. Is what you're living for worth Jesus dying for? The third question is, when you get to where you're headed, where are you going to be? You're heading somewhere, right? When you get to where you're headed, where are you going to be? Folks, Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of our love, of our lives, of our all. Lost friend, there's only one move that you can make to the salvation of your soul. That's come and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.